We segue to General Manager Rick Spielman joining us now. Mr. Spielman, welcome to the 9 to Noon radio show.
Thanks for having me on.
Mr. Zimmer is celebrating his 58th birthday today. Are you celebrating anything?
No. Well, when Eden Prairie Lacrosse won the sectional championship last night, so they were going to move on to state next week.
Covenant clap for the sectional championship last night here in Eden Prairie. Hey, Eden Prairie winning a sporting event. Imagine that.
Weird.
Doesn't happen too often. How are things with you? You well? You relaxed? Good time of the year for you?
Yeah, no, doing a lot of administrative things now, working on contracts for front office employees and things like that.
Interesting.
So,
giving yourself a raise.
No.
That's excellent.
No, just going through all the stuff that you kind of put off towards the end. And then just very excited about getting out here on the field, seeing a lot of new faces out here, a lot of new coaches out here. So it's a lot of energy and very exciting time for us.
You're very particular with your craft, and you're obviously very particular with the draft. You put a lot of time into it. Even though there's nothing you can do about it, does it at all bug you? You can't get those Pac-12 kids here?
It's a rule that you have to work around. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you agree with the rule or not, the rule's the rule. But it's
what is the rule?
Basically, those are schools that are on the quarter system,
right?
And those players cannot report back. They can come in for the mini camp, the rookie mini camp, but they cannot come back onto your facility until their class graduates. And a lot of those quarter systems won't finish up till next week. So we'll be able to get all three Yankee,
Creighton,
and Barr all back here for the last mini camp.
Now, they've been gone a couple of weeks. You can barely remember their names.
No, but I know our coaches have been, you know, you can Skype. They've set up Skype visits. They've also been out there personally visiting them. I think Adam's going out to see Barr, and Davidson's been out to see Yankee. So we're
Zimmer
doing
told
things.
Us that.
Yeah. So we're out there making sure that they're staying caught up with all the mental part of it as well.
So when you send position coaches like that, Adam Zimmer, linebackers coach, Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach, what do? They, like, bring film, bring game plan, they, like, sit down with them? How's that work?
Basically, we do what the rules allow us to do.
Yeah.
Which is at least we can go out there and interact with them.
That, but you get them here for mandatory mini camps, correct?
Correct.
Are you at all specifically with the outside linebacker or the hybrid defensive player, Anthony Barr? Are you at all concerned about getting up to speed and not forcing things and stuff like that?
He'll be behind, just like Yankee will be. All those guys will be behind because they're missing so much time on the field with our coaches right now. So you do the best you can do to try to get them caught up. But they'll a little bit, when we come back to training camp, they're going to be behind most of these guys. But we feel, and the coaches will do a great job getting them caught up as quickly as possible.
This is your third regime here with which you've worked, Childress into Frazier into Zimmer. From what you know now, from rookie camp through organized team activity, is there anything dramatically different you're seeing now with Mike? I asked him about his influences for schedule, and he said mostly Parcells, some Lewis, some Sean Payton for putting this whole thing in the mini camp and then subsequently training camp together with Norv helping. Those are some pretty good influences there.
Yeah, and everybody has a different way they go about their business and how they want to schedule things and how they feel that they need to get the team prepared to play and to get ready to open up against St. Louis down there. So we're doing a lot of things differently as far as some of the scheduling things that we're doing. How we're going to conduct training camp will be a little bit different. I think the schedule will come out. We're going to have a few more night practices down there. But every coach has their way or their system on how they want to get the players prepared to play.
Do you get the team over to the Gopher Stadium at all during mini camp or training camp, or is that?
I'll just leave that one alone.
Okay. Okay.
Very controversial. We had coaches go down. We had a walkthrough with the coaches down, actually, at the University of Minnesota Pro Day.
I'll
leave everything else.
Got it. Well, I'm just kind of starting to think about outdoor football and the way this team has been constructed. So, like, I had a conversation a couple of days ago with Jeff Locke. It may be football nerdery to some, but to me it was very intriguing to hear him talk about how he's reconstructing his game from a directional punting standpoint, given he'll be kicking at Gopher Stadium and kicking more outdoors. I just think that stuff's really intriguing.
Yeah, no, Coach Kill has been outstanding, and I spoke with him the other day, and I know Coach Zimmer has spoken with him as well about giving us a little bit the wind directions down there, you know, every little part of it that we're going to have to deal with playing outdoors and all the little intricacies that are involved with it down at Gopher Stadium.
Yeah.
But our punters and our kickers will be down there. I know Coach Kill said anytime we need to come down there, and maybe our quarterbacks are throwing the receivers. That'll all evolve, but I know we are going to get as prepared as possible to get ready to play next year outdoors.
What's it been like for you working with Mike Zimmer? Have you enjoyed the process?
Yeah, I love it every day. Coming into work every day.
Has he ever yelled at you?
No. Yeah. We have discussions.
I've heard him yell three times. It's great. He hasn't yelled yet today, but rookie camp and the one organized team activity.
No, he is.
And it's nothing personal with him.
No.
It's born of like dad to son or coaching or raising, you know? I think it's really impressive.
No, we have an unbelievable working relationship, and I know we're both very intense people and want to put the best product up there, and I'm very excited about where this direction of this team is going right now.
Rick Spielman, Vikings general manager from the exclusive Will Family Perch on a gorgeous Eden Prairie sun-splashed Thursday for Vikings organized team activities. We'll have a Vikings player on a couple of hours from now. All the players are out on the two fields going through organized team activities. Chatted with Matt Castle yesterday on the 9 to noon radio show. In my 13 years of working with this team, I can't say I've come across many more than him or anybody as secure with their lot in life. I mean, like last year through the Freeman debacle and with Christian and everything, and this year, you know, a quarterback taken in the first round, you know, maybe he's towing the cliched company line, but he's just very secure with his lot in life.
And that was one of our big objectives this offseason was to make sure we signed Matt Castle back. And just because of what he brings to this football team, and it'll all play out as we go forward on who's going to be our quarterback. But we have the luxury of not forcing Teddy Bridgewater in there or playing Christian unless they are ready to play. But Matt's had a great offseason, is evolved into a leader of this football team. You've seen some of that leadership going through last year, even though we had some controversy at that position. And that's what you get with a veteran quarterback that is not only a good player but very steady and even keeled.
With Bridgewater, I've heard you say, you've said it on the 9 to noon show, that you saw him play live four times last year or over the last couple of years, whatever. But now that you've seen him in rookie camp and organized team activities, anything surprising to you from a positive standpoint? For instance, I hadn't watched him play live that much. I came out to rookie camp, and the speed with which he drops and the quickness with his release, you know, I mean, in watching it 30 times, I found myself taken aback going, wow, that drops really fast.
Yeah, there's no question about the physical ability. The biggest hurdle that these, especially at the quarterback position, is the mental part. Because the playbook is a lot more complex. They're throwing a lot of things at him. I know Norv and Scott Turner, they have an idea of how they want to bring them along, and both not only physically but mentally as well, and try to overload them, let them make some mistakes so they can correct them on film, and then you learn from that and continue to move on. But we're very excited about having Teddy here and what he's shown us so far.
You've mentioned here and other places before when you've talked about Christian Ponder, you've talked about the inconsistencies. When I chat with Norv Turner about Christian Ponder, I get the feeling that Norv, you know, this is certainly no tell as to which way any spot's going to go. Norv's been around 30 years. He has Super Bowl rings. I just get the feeling Norv doesn't want to be told who somebody was is who he's going to be with him. You know what I mean?
Well, that's with all these coaches. That's with Coach Zimmer. That's with our entire staff. You bring a new staff in here, it's starting with a blank slate, okay? Let me see what this guy's abilities are. Let me teach him. Let me train him to go through whatever we need to get to make him be the best player that he can be. And this coaching staff has a reputation of that, and especially Mike Zimmer. Every cast-off that he has ever had, he's been able to get them to perform at a level that got them to play winning football.
What's Gerald Hodges' role with this team right now?
You know, that's all evolving. Everybody is, you'll see as we've been through, everybody's rotating in and out with the ones, with the twos. They're putting them in specific situations during practice to see him in third downs or to see him in nickel defense, and they'll rotate guys in and out. And I think the biggest thing about these OTAs and these mini camps is kind of get a baseline on what guys can do. and then we will build off what they can do from there.
Do you enjoy this time of the year, Rick? Is this the organized team activities into the mandatory mini camp? Because the changes at training camp and the preseason, I know you like that. Then the regular season, all bets are off. You know, that's where obviously they all count. But do you find yourself, the longer you've been in football, which is, how long have you been in the game? 18 years?
No, it's going to be my 24th.
Jeez, 24 years.
Yeah.
The older you get or the more mature in the job you get, do you find yourself enjoying this time more?
Every year it's better and better.
Yep.
Just because when you can go out there and find a job that you're very passionate about, that if money didn't matter, and you had to pick a job you'd want to do, this would be the job I would pick, for as hard as it can be, but as rewarding as it can be, to come out here and see this football team and see how it's evolving. And every year, everybody has high expectations. You're not in this position, or you're not with an NFL football team, if you don't, or an NFL franchise, if you don't have high expectations every year going into the season. And this is the start of it. So once we get the final night, we got 90 guys in camp right now, and from January till through the end of the draft, you're really busting your rear end to try to get the best players you can in here. Now you got them out on the field, the coaches get their hands on them, and you see the process start. Okay, what type of football team? What's the chemistry being built? Are these guys learning what they're doing? So it's very exciting this time of year, because you're getting kind of maybe a sneak peek behind the curtain of what's going to be heading into training camp.
This is very enjoyable and relaxing. Can we do it for one more segment?
Yeah, that's fine.
I want to talk to you about Chad Greenway and a little more on Teddy Bridgewater and Greg Jennings.
Why could I never say no to you?
Because it's on-air leveraging. If you say no, you let down the masses. It's the oldest trick in the book. Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings. Paul Allen from Winter Park, home of the Minnesota Vikings in Eden Prairie. And on your home for Vikings football, we'll be back after this. We're at Winter Park now. For a Winter Park Thursday, it's a football feast. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings. Did you ever have any desire to coach, or was it all personnel for you?
No, I had an opportunity to coach when I first got done playing.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this side always intrigued me a little bit. And then once I started getting involved in scouting and doing it part-time, that's where I kind of found my niche and felt the direction I wanted to go.
Mike Zimmer runs the team on the field and has a large say in the defense, I would imagine. Does he just give the offense to Norv Turner and just let him do it?
No, Mike will have total control over the whole team.
Right.
But when you have an offensive coordinator like Norv Turner, with his reputation and with his resume, that you're going to rely on him from the offensive standpoint. It's just like anyone that's in a leadership role, in my opinion, you hire experts in their area to handle those specific tasks that need to be done. You oversee those. You make suggestions. You have to have knowledge of whatever area that is, but you let experts do their jobs.
How do you end up getting Norv Turner? I mean, what's the process with that? That was a huge offensive coordinator hire, and you know, obviously he was out of work. Or did you get him? Well, was he released by Cleveland? How'd that work?
Well, we ended up, I knew he was going to get released by Cleveland.
Right.
And Mike had known Norv just through reputation and playing against him, but I don't know if they didn't have a great, you know, a close relationship. And one of the things when I talked to Zim about was when we hired him, is that if I could make some suggestions as well. Now, he has a final say over all the coaching staff, who he wants on his staff, who he doesn't want on his staff.
Yep.
But I just try to give him some names out there and guys that I knew, and I had an opportunity to work with Norv for a couple of years down in Miami. So I knew what he was about. I knew his reputation. I saw how he worked. And I suggested as we went through and started putting his staff together that, boy, to get an offensive coordinator of Norv's caliber, I think, would be a huge asset for us. And so I think Zim reached out to Norv, and they hit it off. And it has to that part has to be the right fit as well.
With your stable of offensive players here, what do you like most about Norv? How he works with your quarterbacks?
Yeah, he's just Patterson. He's just a great football coach and a great developer of talent. And a lot like Zim, he has a reputation of getting the most out of his players, getting the most out of their talent, and identifying what they do best and trying to utilize that in a scheme.
Yep.
And as you sit there and go through meetings and you're watching practice every day, as he learns our players and learns their talents and what they are good at, he's not afraid to adjust his scheme to make sure that we're going to get them in those particular situations in the middle of a ball game. So, and the other thing is he is very good and one of the best play callers, just working with him personally in Miami and being in the coach's booth. Just the feel for the game and the feel to call an offensive game is just, he's one of those unique type offensive coordinators.
Defensive coordinator George Edwards, being a defensive coordinator on a team run by Mike Zimmer, how does that balance work?
I know, Zim's putting his hands all over the defense right now, but I know I also worked with George Edwards, too, down in Miami.
Linebackers coach?
He was the linebackers coach down there at the time, and I know Zim knew him very well. Very similar type schemes that they were using in Miami that came out of Zim's tree and what he uses on the defense, so he can speak the language that Mike speaks. I know Mike will be heavily involved on the defensive side, but feel very very excited to get a guy like George Edwards in here.
How's Chad Greenway getting along? Battled some nagging injuries pretty much all year last year, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, played predominantly all year with a broken wrist,
yeah.
Which is just a credit to him. And these guys are rare when they'll go out there, and no matter how hurt they are, they're going to sacrifice their bodies to try to help us win ball games on every Sunday. And I think Zim said it best, if you can have 90 guys that are Chad Greenway's caliber, not only what he does on the field for us, but off the field, you're going to have a pretty good football team.
Is there a lot different with Chad's role on a Mike Zimmer team compared to a Leslie Frazier team with what he does play after play after play?
I think all those roles will evolve as we continue down through here. We're getting the basic building blocks in place right now. Our coaches are identifying what they can and can't do and what roles they'll play as we head into the fall. That process will continue through training camp once we get the pads on. Now, it's great to get an opportunity to see these guys run around in their shorts, but it changes a little different when you get down to Mankato and get the pads on. And that's just the next step in the process. And as the players evolve and what their roles evolve will be determined as we go.
What's Teddy Bridgewater the guy like? What's his demeanor like when he gets in that huddle and he's trying to lead somebody down the field, even in organized team activities?
You know, Teddy has a little bit of a quiet personality, but as you get to know him, very outgoing kid, very, got a chance to spend a lot of time with his mom, and you know that he was raised right, has all the right values that you're looking for. But it's amazing is that when he's in the huddle or he's on the field, there's no question there's something that goes off in him where he does have that aura about him where he's in charge or he's in command.
What is that? Like, what do you mean? He just makes it happen?
It's I don't know how to describe it. It's like when someone walks in the room, there's that presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard for a rookie to have that, but you can tell he's not intimidated when he walks into the huddle. And he grabs people's attention when he's in the huddle. He grabs people's attention as he's making the barking out the audibles and the calls at the line of scrimmage. And that just continues to evolve. But we're very excited about, you know, that was some of the knock on him, is he too soft of personality. And that may be him off the field. But when he's on the field or in the meetings or between the white lines, that personality really comes out. And you can really see that leadership.
Do you talk to the veterans about guys like Teddy Bridgewater? Do you get with, like, Greg Jennings and stuff and talk to
no.
him about – no, you don't? Why?
No. No, I, my role is to get these guys in here. The coaches work with the players on
yeah.
a daily basis. And I think the young guys, as they come in here, they earn the respect of the veterans on how they're doing things. Are they first one in the building, last one out? How hard are they working at? Are they really studying and trying to catch up what they're doing on the field? When the veterans recognize that a young guy coming in can help them win ball games, like a lot of the rookies that we've had in the past, you know, with the Harrison Smiths and how all of a sudden he started making plays as a rookie and how quickly they accept him, or, you know, like Cordero last year and some of the things he was able to do for us, that all evolves as these guys come in and prove themselves to the vets.
The Anthony Barr, when he gets here, he's not a starter, right? I mean, he has to work himself into that spot.
Yeah, everybody's spot is up for grabs.
Almost everybody's.
Almost everybody's.
Yeah. 28,
28
no.
should be pretty good.
65's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, 75's all right. I mean, we probably got about eight that are all right.
Yeah.
But you definitely have some heated competitions through organized team activities, mini camp, and training camp.
I'm very excited about this training camp, and I love going down to Mankato. But our fans, when you come down there, you're going to see a lot of new faces. You're going to see these new coaches. You're going to see the style of coaching that these guys have,
mm-hmm.
and how demanding they are. But also, it's amazing how they can jump on their rear ends one play, and the next play I see Zim with his arm around a guy.
Yeah.
And it's just whatever that the ability to connect with players, to demand things out of the players, but yet players are receptive to that and know what's in making them better.
Rick, have you already seen with Zimmer and the staff, you have the blank slate approach when somebody gets here. So, Gerald Hodges is the example that I always use because he was drafted. Didn't play a lick last year, played a little bit on special teams. I'm sure there are times you would like to have used him at outside linebacker for whatever the reason you couldn't. So like a guy like that, he comes in here and it's a completely blank slate with a new defensive mind. And guys like that, there are going to be a couple of guys who jump up next year where us as fans, we may think they're good, but they'll be better, or we may have thought they were below average and they end up being a lot better than was originally perceived.
The one thing I always believed in is I try to get the coaches the best athletes possible to work with.
Yeah.
And we try to put all the other things together with the work ethic. But at least if they have the speed, the quickness, the athletic ability to line up and play on Sundays, and it's up to the player, too, to evolve himself. I mean, he's got to put the time and energy and effort to work at it as well.
Yep.
But at least if you have some physical traits to work with, and you're willing to work at it to be the best you can be, it gives the coaches something to kind of mold into a player. A
couple of quickies to close here for Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. We're at Winter Park on a Football Feast Thursday from the exclusive Wilf Family Perch overlooking a Vikings organized team activities. Christian Ponder, a very, very sweet kid, very likable guy. Everybody pulls for Christian. How has he handled everything this – well, most pull for Christian. How has he handled things this offseason? Didn't pick up the fifth-year option, drafted a quarterback in the first round, and signed Castle for 2 years. I mean, those are – it's a business, I get it, but those are three eye-opening things.
Christian has handled it unbelievable, very mature. I don't think I've seen Christian come back with a better attitude, working as hard as he has, putting everything he can in to make him the best player possible. I think with the new energy of the staff coming in, working with the North Turner, with North Turner's reputation, and you see it out on the field every day out here, the difference in Christian. And I don't know if it'll ever be sometimes about the physical ability part, but it was all the inconsistencies and everything that kind of held him back.
Yep.
But when you see him throw some throws that you haven't seen him make, but he's making them out here now, those are the things. But for as hard as it has been on Christian, it's amazing his oomph to try to continue to work to get better and try to be the best he can be.
Do you want to see him get pissed off and come into the offseason saying, yeah, I know they took this guy at 32, and I know they gave this guy a two-year deal, and they didn't pick up my fifth-year bid?
It's not just him. It's everybody. And the ideal is, and I tell all the guys this, is when you come in here, control what you can control. That's your work ethic. Are you improving on your weaknesses? Are you in the film room? Are you lifting weights? Are you doing extra on the field? Those are all the things you can control. Things you can't control, you can't worry about, because when you start worrying about everything on the outside or what people are saying or this or that or what roster moves being made and that, you don't control that. And if you start focusing on that, that's going to affect your performance. And I try to tell even my kids that. Is that worry about what you can control and make yourself the best you can be at things you can control.
Who's Adrian Peterson's backup as of now?
Just watching Matt Asiata, he's been out. He's had an outstanding camp, and you got a chance to see a glimpse of him towards the end of the season when Adrian's down. I know he had a big game that last game. I think the
against Philly,
against Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Philly, he rushed for the 3 touchdowns, and you can see him continually improving. And very excited about McKinnon, the rookie we brought in, and we haven't had a type of back like that. That's more of that scat back type that can do a lot of different things out of the backfield. And he's such a tremendous athlete, and he's got a ways to go in learning because he's at a new position trying to learn that full time. But some of the things that you're seeing him do on the field athletic is very exciting.
Now, more than a year removed from the third ACL, how much more explosive is Mike Motti right now compared to last year?
I think, you know, now he's been removed for a full year. You see the explosion you saw before the knee injuries. And I think a lot of it has to do sometimes with just the confidence, you know, to go out there and you don't have to worry about, well, geez, I've blown my knee out three times. That he's out there flying around, playing free, playing not cautious. And I didn't think he played cautious last year because him and Hodges both did a great job on special teams for us last year. But I think along with that, along with learning the defense, along with going through that rookie cycle, now, okay, this is your second year, you kind of know what to expect. You see a difference not only in him, but a lot of these second-year players.
Fierce competitions at the safety spot opposite Smith and middle linebacker. Are those two of the most fierce battles you'll have in the offseason?
I think, the one thing that we thought we did a great job in college free agency at the end of the draft was signing some of these young offensive linemen. There's about three or four rookies that have kind of popped up, from Tiny Richardson to, you know, Wentworth, who came out of Fresno State.
Who's Tiny Richardson?
Oh, that's our big tackle.
I thought it was a fullback who used to play for the Vikings, Jets, and Chiefs and got beat out by the Terminator.
No.
Well, that's Tony Richardson.
Yeah.
Tiny Richardson.
Yeah, the tackle out of Tennessee.
Excellent.
Who was projected to maybe be a second or third rounder, yep. But some teams failed him on his knees. We took a shot at him once the free agency period started after the draft and been kind of impressed what he's been doing so far. But
very nice.
Again, a lot of these guys, I try to – you temper your enthusiasm a little bit until you get your pads on, because a lot of times these guys will be out here and they could look like the best football players in the world running around in shorts. All of a sudden the pads come on and it's like, okay, that light gets a little brighter all of a sudden.
Well, blank slate with the head coach. I mean, seriously, in the game you guys played at Cincinnati last year, Vincent Ray, undrafted guy from Duke. I mean, with Zimmer, he doesn't care where they come from. He wants them to be able, I would imagine, wants them to be able to run.
He's most comfortable between those white lines, coaching football, getting players better.
And so that means you do the training camp schedule.
we're working together on a lot of other things. But that part, I don't ever have to worry about.
That's why you said you're organizationally getting the front office and everybody re-signed today, because you probably just were with operations getting the training camp schedule ready, and you're like, damn, man, I need a raise.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it.